This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Spent a lot of time on a player the Eagles did not pick in the NFL draft, but they almost did.
Crazy.
They almost did. I think the Browns thought they were going to take Shedeur Sanders. We need to come down on that. But let's talk about what they did do, which is a whole lot of defense. Howie Roseman on all those defensive players taken early this year and in the last few drafts.
Over the last 4 years, 10 of your 13 picks in the first three rounds have been defense. Turned the whole defense over since 22. Why that kind of emphasis on it, and how do you like where you are defensively now?
Well, offensively, we have a bunch of starters under long-term contracts, starters who are in the prime of their career, so it allows you to really on the fly get young on that side of the ball, and we needed it a couple of years ago, and I'd say this year's draft, we were open to whatever the board told us.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't have to because
go ahead.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do.
Don't have to.
Offense, defense, luxury, necessity, crap.
Y'all see it. I just be sitting on here dropping dimes, man. I be dropping gems like I'm a point guard.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I tried to tell y'all, and he said it. He basically said what I've been screaming the whole time, but he said it in such a nice way, y'all. You know, he made it more palatable for the people.
So this is spin? Is this just spin stuff?
It's not a spin.
Well, I could spin it the other way, saying that they've used 10 of the last 13 high picks on defense because that matters.
Well, it matters because it helps with the narrative. They're cheaper.
Well, they are.
They're
cheaper now.
That's a
for until they have to pay them.
And then when they have to pay them,
they're going to let them go because it's a luxury.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Carter, Quinion, Cooper.
This thing could flip in 3 years.
I feel the pushback
very fast.
There's only one guy that you identify on this team. Now, they have some good players. I'm not taking away anything from Quinion or Cooper DeJean. But when you look at this defense and you say the guy that you got to have on that defense, it's only one that you have to have.
Huh?
All the rest of them are interchangeable.
No.
Jalen Carter.
Quinion is interchangeable?
First of all, let me tell you the numbers. Mm-mm. Why? Mm-mm. Let me tell you why the numbers.
Bond? After they just paid him
this
whole
season?
Let
me tell you why the numbers bear out me saying that. His snap count alone, and he's the most out of all the positions that you, when you start building a team, you want to start from the trenches.
So you're right on the snap counts, but Quinion and Cooper play a lot of snaps.
Oh, no, they play, a lot, they play a lot of Quinion. Snaps.
And
they
Bond.
Play a lot
I wouldn't
of snaps.
Say they're interchangeable.
They play a lot of snaps, but like I said, if I'm starting my team, the only cat that I'm taking is Jalen Carter, because off of Jalen Carter,
obviously, but that's
but
not.
No, but what I'm saying is off of Jalen Carter, I can put a bunch of different cast members around him.
Sorry, so you're the way this is played out.
Defense isn't going to be as good.
I would say this right now. Your theory from years ago is working for you right now, right? But
did that hurt you to say?
No, it didn't. But a day, I've been sitting on this for weeks. A day is coming in the next few years where the rubber is going to meet the road.
The rubber is going to meet the
road. And they're going to have to decide, do we keep Quinion, Cooper, Nolan, you know, maybe the Jahad Campbell if he's the real deal? And if they keep those guys,
it's going to flip.
They're going to have to get rid of some of the older, at that point, they'll be older, right? Like AJ. Obviously, the linemen are all young, but like they're gonna have to make decisions, and someone, one or two or three, or the offensive guys, won't be here anymore.
Here's the thing, though: if You go to a couple more Super Bowls, win a few more. Does it matter? Like, say if we go back this year and the year after, does it matter?
So are you saying if this flips and defense is not a luxury, does it matter?
Well, no, I'm saying
it matters
if it flips,
for this.
If it flips, that just means that my take stood the test of time.
No, it didn't.
What? I mean, it did. Because it's
no.
This is how
no. It just means you had a conveniently time.
No,
yes,
I have vision.
Stood the test of time.
No,
oh,
I have
goodness.
Vision, you and are. It also. But see, here's the thing, and it's the reality of it that you just can't wrap your mind around.
We don't have the bandwidth.
you catch it all. The NFL is cyclical. It changes every 10 years. So if it goes back to the defense. Then you guys would be right, but right now it's my room.
Okay, it's interesting. At least acknowledge it.
Well, so then, that's the NFL in a nutshell.
When it comes time to have to pay Quinion, Cooper, et cetera, guys not named Jalen Carter on the defense, you're saying don't do it.
They probably. It all depends on what their numbers look like during that time,
and it depends on how good they are.
Yes, because right now we know for a fact Jalen Carter has to be paid. Like that's a fact. The other guys, they had a good rookie campaign. We'll see what happens this year. Now, if they come back and they duplicate that, then that's a different conversation. But as of right now, only cat that's getting paid on the defense is Jalen.
Zach Bond.
And yeah, Bond. You know there is a way for both everyone to be right. You know what this is, right?
What's that?
So, like, what have we had this discussion today about getting a young quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 years from now, there is a way they could keep most of the offensive guys and most of the defensive guys.
Get a new quarterback.
If they had a
then quarterback is a luxury.
Well, hold on. But like,
it's hard to find a quarterback.
They're not paying them.
The Niners have such a good roster 2 years ago?
Because they didn't have to pay the quarterback.
Right. Like, I'm not saying they should do this.
A luxury.
They can do this, but I'm just saying like we both could be right if they drafted a young quarterback.
See, let me tell you what the 49ers.
That's the way to make the money work.
Let me tell you what the 49ers are dealing with right now. Brock Purdy having the success that he's had.
Well, now he wants money.
And he...
he wants money.
He about to get
paid. It's a fleeting thing. You get a few years.
He about to get paid,
sure.
Bro.
Well, that's why they got rid of Debo. And they moved on.
Because they got to pay.
Yep.
Yep.
And they won't be good.
My Purdy take's just marinating a little bit.
Everyone's
got talent.
We all have these
We all have agendas.
Just marinating.
We all have agendas.
We're just stirring the pot of our own takes until it's time to serve that meal. All right, one more thing from this weekend. We didn't spend much time on it today. Obviously, on Friday, we were excited about Jahad Campbell. And we know today we've been debating what they didn't do. But their highest pick since we last spoke was the safety out of Texas. Shiel Kapadia was on this morning with the morning show. Listen to what he said about Makuba, the safety out of Texas.
Most interesting thing to me with Makuba is that he's only 186 pounds. But he plays like he doesn't care that he's only 186 pounds. I mean, he throws his body around. Now, really, that is a concern a little bit in the NFL where you say, hey, if you want to say this isn't going to work out, if you look into your crystal ball and say, hey, it might not work out. I do have some concerns about 186 pounds with his style of play. But, man, he survived it in college at a big-time program. And so he's a really fun player in that respect. The versatility is interesting. You know, I've heard people make the comp to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and I do think play style, that's a good one. I do. There are some mixed reviews about him when he's asked to cover slot receivers. You know, is he shifty enough? Is he athletic enough to do that? He didn't do a ton of that last year at Texas. Like I said, he did it previously. Is he going to be able to bring that versatility to the NFL? I think that's another thing that he has to prove.
I think he's a free safety. When I've watched the highlights, Shiel was talking about the nickel type of stuff in the slot. I think he's a center field free safety, goes and gets the ball with interceptions. What do you make of what Shiel said? So he plays like he's bigger, but he's only 186 pounds. So he kind of was hinting at the idea of, can he hold up physically?
Bruh.
He hits.
Bruh, I'm watching as we're talking about him. He just came up and he hit a tight end. Looked like, was it quarterback or the tight end with a decleater?
I'm a fan.
No, he can hit. Like, he can hit. He reminds me a little bit with his size of Timmy Houck. Remember Timmy Houck played here? Not Minnesota. Wyoming? One of those small. Like, he played, I think it was a Cowboy or something. Wyoming, I think it was a Cowboy. But Wyoming Cowboy, I think. But, he comes up and he lays the wood now from that safety position. It just all depends. Like Shiel said, you kind of worry about him and his size. But I tell you who else was considered a smaller safety that when he got in the room, when he got in the weight room and he started lifting, he was a big dude. Brian Dawkins was not that big of a safety. But boy, he'll lay that thigh out on you. Not saying that he's Brian Dawkins, people. Mm-hmm. Not saying that. I'm just saying Brian will put that thigh out on you for a little dude, though.
He had 5 picks last year. Which, I mean, that's one of the things when they traded away Chauncey for no reason that I was annoyed about. Like, that's a playmaker they lost. This kid looks like a playmaker. 5 interceptions last year. Let's hope he holds up physically, and maybe he'll get bigger, like you said. Hugh, the one thing that I think now I'm most looking forward to at camp, like with battles, is him against Sidney Brown to see who's going to play safety. Because I didn't feel...
Yeah, Sidney's a hitter, too.
He is. But I didn't feel comfortable with Sidney.
He gets injured.
And he gets lost sometimes in coverage. You in on this kid?
No, I am. I'm looking at the hit you've had on the quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Sounds like you're in. I'm a Kuba. I'm in on Makuba. I like that pick. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this, the draft, what they did, what they didn't do. I am surprised they didn't get a tight end. Goddard's future's all up in the air. And, of course, Shedeur Sanders. Did you want the Eagles to take him as he fell down the draft board? Audrey in South Philly. Hey, Audrey.
Hey, guys. Hey, no, I didn't want Shedeur Sanders. I think they did the right thing. I think that was media driven that the Eagles were even in with that. As soon as I put on the 4th round, they were saying it could be the Eagles that might want him. So
yep.
That was more of media. The Eagles pick was in as soon as Shedeur Sanders was picked, the Eagles pick was in right after that. So if the Eagles had any inkling in trying to get Shedeur Sanders, they would have been scrambling around. He'd still would have been on the clock. So that was media driven.
Oh, so you don't you don't think they had interest in him?
They didn't want. They had no inklings in wanting him.
Why do you think the Browns jumped them?
We are the world champions. We don't need that. We don't need the headache. We don't need the circus. We don't need that stuff here. I think he dropped because he deserved to drop. When you come in there, these companies are billion-dollar companies that you're going to interview them for. This ain't no jalopy job that you're going to interview them for. You're going in front of people that are worth billions of dollars that you need them more than they need you. And he went that out there. It's not the Giants' fault that he interviewed bad. I think Dable did the right thing and let teams know exactly how he was. So teams knew. Why
yeah, so I, Audrey, I disagree there. So like, they don't have to. But I disagree with you on that, Audrey. If someone goes in, you know what? Never mind. You go.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm done. Audrey, if someone goes in for an interview and doesn't do a good job, obviously they shouldn't get the job. I mean, anyone that he gave a bad interview with or meeting with, I'm not surprised they didn't take him. That's fine. But to go and tell the world about it feels a little immature to me from the coach.
He was good enough, like Manziel and the
Manziel
other guys,
wasn't actually good.
Manziel stunk.
That just Jeez. Like everybody, just like everybody else did. Everybody would have overlooked if he was that good. His daddy was that good. He's not. He's not his daddy.
Well, he's not. I mean, his dad was one of the best players of all time.
Oh, I know he was.
Yeah.
But it's Sonny Boy isn't.
All right, Audrey. We appreciate the call. There's a lot going on that phone call.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just a lot.
I mean, it was.
You know what we're going to grab here? Let's get Kevin says giving us an agent's perspective. Kevin is up on WIP. What's up, Kevin?
How you guys today? Can you guys hear me okay?
We got you, Kevin. What's up?
So I wanted to speak from an agent perspective. I've been listening to a lot of calls. I've listened to you guys for a long period of time, and I just kind of wanted to explain how a lot of these things work behind the scenes, if you guys give me a few.
Sure.
I've represented NBA basketball players for years. There's probably people that know my name. So the first thing is mock drafts. I just wanted to explain how mock drafts work. They are people's opinions. In 2025, there's a lot of clickbait. These things are driven by individuals. There's no agents drive mock drafts. There's been instances where you can a small-time agent can pay a mock draft X amount of dollars to put a guy onto a mock draft. Mock drafts are exactly what they are. They are people's opinions. They are not – they're designed for entertainment purposes. NFL teams are not spreading information to these mock drafts. So when you see a player fall in a mock draft, it's because it's exactly what it is. It's a mock draft. The second thing I wanted to share was – how this whole interview process works. And Hugh might be able to relate. As an agent, we would prepare our players prior to meetings we would hire former GMs who would do all the background research, and we would prep them. We would prepare them on how to answer certain questions. So case in point, if a – let's just say the Giants who drafted number 24, whatever the number was. A lot of times a team will say, hey, if we were to draft you at this number, how would you feel coming into our organization knowing you were going to be a backup? We would tell the player to say, hey, while I am a competitor, I know that it's going to take me time to learn how to play, and I'm not ready now. So if my best way to help a team is to be the quarterback of the scout team and help this defense be the best that it can and win a championship, even though I feel like I'm ready, that's what I am willing to do. It doesn't take away from his confidence, but it's the answer that they want to hear. So conversely, if another quarterback says, well, I feel like I'm a starter and I don't want to be a backup, that team might take them off their draft board simply because he does not fit into their plans. Do I think Shador is better than Kenny Pickett? Absolutely, I do. But Kenny Pickett went to a team where he may have walked in saying, I understand I am going to be a backup for a year to 2 years. Jackson Dart may have said, I am willing to be a backup for Russell Wilson and for Jameis Winston for 1 or 2 years. That's sometimes why players drop in the draft. It's not always simply because of certain situations. This was a very unique year. We had 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round last year.
Right.
Not every team needed a quarterback. So there were instances where he was going to drop for different reasons. And remember, and Hugh can probably attest to this, he didn't have an agent. He was not prepped and prepared the same way, despite who his father was, on how to answer certain questions. We would always prepare our clients on exactly how to answer questions, and we could also manipulate the draft process. I've had instances where I have literally told a team, do not draft my player. I would rather him go undrafted, and we can pick the team that he wants to go to undrafted, then be a 42nd pick in the second round, where there's partially guaranteed contracts, where there's G League contracts. There are so many things that happen behind the scenes as to why players fall. It's not always as clear cut because there are a lot of things that a lot of moving parts. Hugh, do you agree with what I'm saying?
There are a lot of moving parts. But as far as being humble in a meeting, I don't think that's enough. To say you are willing to be a backup, I don't think that's enough for you to drop to the fifth round, though. I don't think that's a red flag.
Well, no, it's not. And that's why I didn't use humbling. There's a way that you can say I am a competitor, but if I've had first round NBA draft picks who were in the green room, and the question that was asked is, if we draft you in the first round and we have to send you to the G League, and they would say, listen, I'm a competitor, but if I have to go we knew what to tell them what to say. It doesn't take away from their confidence or anything, but it does impact the team's thing. Michael Penix went number 8 knowing he was going to be a backup. Does Michael Penix go number 8 if when he answers the question, he tells them, I only want to go to a team where I can start? That may alter that team's whole draft process and how they do it. Do I ultimately think that Shador sliding past a certain round had a lot to do with the team saying, do we want the headache of drafting a third round guy who everybody's going to think is a starter and wants to have him start, and now we have to look over this in the case of a new coach in New Orleans? I just think there were so many things at play. And lastly, before I hang up, I do sometimes think that race comes into play. And I think the better example was Lamar Jackson dropping to the end of the first round and people asking him to play wide receiver. I think that was a very, very accurate depiction of how race plays into the NFL. I just thought here, while it absolutely may be, and I'm an African-American agent, I think a lot of this, him not having an agent, you had Drew Rosenhaus at a certain point in your career. I think Drew Rosenhaus would have had him prepped a lot differently, i.e. Shiloh literally hiring Drew Rosenhaus the moment that he went undrafted. So I just wanted to kind of give a different context from an agent's perspective and how things are manipulated and so forth. And I appreciate you guys.
Well, we got it, Kevin. We appreciate you making the phone. I do think, and he laid it out with the role of the agent. I do think for as much as Deion's presence and obviously the coaching, right? He was his coach at Jackson State and at Colorado. I do, as much as it helped him get to this point, I do think it probably hindered him once the process started.
No question about that, Joe. That, like I said, this is not just one thing. And I know some people like to just focus on one thing, but that's not it in this situation. And, you know, just like the lady called and was talking about his arrogance and things like that, that's not a reason not to draft the player. That's not a reason. When you talk about all these other things that people have done and they still get drafted. I hear what you're saying. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I was telling you about a clip I saw the other day where he had where somebody asked him about going to the gas station and getting snacks.
Yep, yep.
And he said, I don't drive. I don't get gas. I drive a Cyber Beast. That rubbed some people the wrong way. But the bottom line is this. Whatever, however you feel about Shedeur Sanders, if you're being honest with yourself, you feel that way because somebody told you that. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. When he was in college and we got closer to this process, you started hearing stuff about him being arrogant and cocky. But before that, he was all this great young quarterback, looked like he's going to be a number one draft pick. And then when the narrative changed and the stories came out that he was cocky, now everybody, none of us know Shedeur. We just know what we've heard about.
Sure. Actually, we missed this. There was a tell as the last week went on that he was probably going to slip. Now, I don't know if anyone could have guessed the fifth round. But this stuff started coming out.
That's what it was always like that.
It was teams, obviously whoever has loose lips, right, and telling people in the media this stuff. They were justifying why they weren't about to take him. Yeah, because, that's what it was.
Like, listen to the draft. Remember when the whole Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold thing, and nobody knew who they wanted to take. And everybody thought when Baker got in trouble that was going to be the sign to show that he wasn't going to go.
Darnold,
Still got drafted.
You know what the ironic thing is? And this goes back to Mel Kiper that the NFL doesn't know what they're doing. Baker went one and Darnold went three. The best quarterbacks in that class were Josh Allen at 7 and Lamar Jackson at 32.
Yes, but all of that did not deter them from taking Baker. That's the thing that I think people are missing is that everything that we're – nobody's sitting back watching all these games. Everything that we're told about these young quarterbacks is because somebody else told us. Somebody told us that Shedeur was a malcontent. And then it didn't make it any better that when you see him on draft day, because people want to look at – he's talking about legendary. That's his brand. Just like when Money Manziel came out, he had the Manziel, the money sign. He's getting – these kids nowadays are media savvy. And they're doing everything that they can to monetize their brand before they get in the NFL.
Look, they all have brands. When we were at the Super Bowl, Travis Hunter had a whole setup for his podcast.
He did, and nobody said anything about it. He went to Adidas because Adidas gave him a contract for his little brother. That's why he didn't go to Nike.
Now, I do think it's a little different when it's a quarterback's, like, they're held to a team first. Like, the wide receiver can kind of
do his own thing.
Like, Darius Slay can have a podcast. Parsons, quarterbacks are held to a different,
well. But you remember, like, back in the day, you probably don't remember this, Kyle, because you were too young, but the quarterback club, it was Boomer Esiason, Dan Marino, and it was two other quarterbacks. But they had their own little thing, and I remember it was a big deal because the NFL was trying to break it up. Because they had the whole quarterback club on lock. It was John Elway was one of the court in the quarterback club. And it was somebody else, but it was those guys. They had it on lock. And NFL they broke that thing up because they were monetizing everything. But yeah, everybody comes in with their own brand. It's just that for whatever reason, when Shedeur brand happened to say legendary, people automatically, he's being cocky. He's not his daddy. He's not his daddy. Mm. But he's his daddy's son.
Well, that's for sure. We found that out. 215-592-9494. All right. We'll talk about whether or not the Eagles should have taken Shedeur Sanders as he fell. Did you want him? Did you want the Eagles to take him as he fell down the draft board? But let's talk about the quarterback they did take late in the draft. Kyle McCord. What Nick Sirianni had to say about him coming up. I thought it was interesting to me listening to Sirianni give his reasons why they liked Kyle McCord. Because McCord was a productive quarterback in college, St. Joe's prep kid, but not obviously a different kind of quarterback than, let's say, Jalen Hurts. He's not in, like, Jalen Milroe. He doesn't run that much. But I just thought it was interesting, like, what Sirianni wants, like, his first thing he wants at a quarterback. You'll find this interesting. 215-592-9494. We'll hear from Sirianni on Kyle McCord. Your phone calls on all this, what the Eagles did, what they didn't do, and did you want Shedeur as he slipped down the draft board. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.